Hi everyone, it's David Wheeler at Wycombe Wanderers and you're listening to the Wycombe Wanderers Show.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Wycombe Wanderers Show. Lots to bring you ahead of, it's been a while, hasn't it, since football. Ahead of the trip to Lincoln on Saturday, we'll hear from manager Matt Bloomfield. It's been the EFL's week of action. We'll catch up with Phil in a few moments' time, who appears in a number of guises on the show this evening as well, including currently he'll be making his way towards the Fans Forum, which is taking place in the Caledonian Suites. This evening we hope to bring you something from that as well. We'll hear, as I say, from the manager a bit later on as well. We'll hear also from Neil Peters, who's the head of operations at the club as well. He was speaking yesterday at the Sustainability Conference, which was taking place at Buckinghamshire New University. We'll also catch up with Arindam, who's one of the newest signings for Wycombe Wanderers Foundation, who, as we say, have been having their week of action. We'll catch up with JDT, John Taylor, who is the vice chairman of Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Players Association and host slash co-host of the annual dinner which took place last week. I was very fortunate to be in attendance there as well. We'll hear from a couple of the former players, of course, who were there as well, and to catch up with him to review the evening. Thanks to Wycombe Wanderers women as well, we're following the chair girls who were up at Cressocks, many of them, a short time ago. I saw a photograph on social media. They looked very cold. We'll be catching up with Daniel Puddiford, who, or Puds, you might have heard her referred to recently by Kayla. Appropriate, considering Children in Need was recently. I don't know if that's funny. It probably isn't. But that's on the way in the next hour. But first, let's catch up with Phil, who we spoke to a little earlier on. If it sounds like he's doing some laps of Adams Park, that's exactly what he's doing after the international break. And nice for the players to have a bit of a break as well.
Yeah, I think, a break physically, mentally, can always be seen as a positive thing. The backdrop that the run is so good that you want to just keep going. But, the results that did happen in League One over the weekend would have given everyone a massive boost as well. Wrexham losing to Stockport, which on many levels was an excellent result, because I think it really put our result at Stockport into context. It's meant that we're now 4 points clear of Wrexham with the game in hand. Which really helps us in our position at the top of the table. So, yeah, I think it was a good weekend to not play. Obviously you can't really answer that question fully until the rearranged game has been played, which won't be until whenever that gets put in. So, but yeah, I think, Matt Bloomfield he's very realistic and about what management's all about. And, being adaptable is the big one. And, you've got to adapt to these situations. It was 9 or 10 days notice of the game being called off, and he would have immediately looked at the schedule and seen where the loading was and the players and made the call and would have given them the time off that he felt was needed. And let's see what comes back from that. I mean, since the last international break, I think we've won every single game. So, they've got good form in reading these data sheets of loading on players, etc., and knowing what their gut tells them as well. So, the results don't lie. So hopefully we can see another fruitful period now. If we can win every game before the next international break, then that would be great, because it's not until March now, which will be music to many football fans' ears.
No, absolutely, because I think many are disappointed, aren't they, that some of the Saturday games have been put back to a Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's not ideal, is it? Especially if you're making big plans, or if you earmark a particular home game for a special event or whatever it is, then and they get cancelled at short notice. That's really not what anybody wants. So yeah, I think it is what it is. This international thing, I really hope the EFL look at it in the summer, and it's not something that we have to deal with in League One anymore. Or alternatively, if the team can continue their excellent form, and we don't have to be in League One next year. So let's see.
And you imagine as well, it must be great motivation for the players to get back to action after a break, knowing that the great run that they are on.
Yeah, they'll be chomping at the bit, definitely, and hopefully sort of rested and recuperated and sort of had a mental break as well from everything, and come back into it. And, this is a real cliche now, Colin, there's some tough games coming up. But I looked at the run we had coming into the international break, and there are some really tough games in there too. So, and the results were great. So I don't think we can be afraid of anybody in League One. I think that's what's been proven in the first, 14 games of the season. We shouldn't fear anybody. The two games we have lost were narrow defeats against two of the big spenders in the division. And since then, it's been phenomenal football. You know, there's been lots of goals scored. You know, they're tightening up at the back as well. So all the signs are good. So, you know, but like you say, the break is about how you respond to it and how you come back from it. And it's a big, big game on Saturday in a place where every time we've gone to Lincoln, it's certainly in recent years, it's been a really, really tough game. It's been sort of quite a physical, brutal game at times as well. I think both teams have come a long way from that style of football. Wickham under Matt Bloomfield and then Scabala at Lincoln, who is, you know, a good friend and acquaintance with Matt Bloomfield. So they'll know each other's game inside out, I think. So I'm looking forward to an entertaining game in what has been a really tough place to go in recent years.
And Lincoln, they're doing pretty well, aren't they? They're one of the cluster of eight teams who've got seven wins, along with Mansfield, of course, who are our next opponents. But of course, we're only taking one game at a time.
Oh yeah, there's another cliche. We should have a little cliche bell going off here. But, the Scabala's done really well at Lincoln. You know, it mirrors a little bit the Wickham pattern because it took him a bit of time to go in and get his philosophy and his thoughts across to the squad, get the players he probably wanted in, and that's what happens. We've seen how long that can take here at Wickham. But once you've got it right, you can see what can happen too. So I think this is going to be two quite similar sized clubs, you know, with similar, you know, setups coming up against each other on Saturday. We've got the better form going into it, but like you say, Lincoln's form is not to be sneezed at coming into this either. So I think it's an intriguing tie.
And not unrealistic to expect two goals from the visiting team, at least.
That would be nice. You know, obviously, we only got the one at Lincoln, but that was at Wigan, sorry, and that was enough. We're averaging, I think, 2.223 goals a game, I think, in the league this season. And of late as well, there's been a lot of goals flying in. So I think not many people will be back in a 0-0. So I don't want to jinx it. But yeah, it'll be an interesting day. And, it, you know, the great thing now is you go to a Wickham Wanderers game and you're really keenly anticipating the hour before kickoff when the team sheet hits, because there's so much sort of choice and variety for the manager to choose from. And that's not doing down the players who aren't on the starting lineup whenever the games are announced, because, you know, we've seen the people come off the bench and have a real impact on the game, which Matt Bloomfield suggests is their job as well. But there's a real anticipation and excitement now about when the team comes out at 2 o'clock on a Saturday.
And so many exciting and good news stories amongst the team as well. The return of Brandon Hanlon, of course. Fred being exciting, what he can do. Richard Koenig continuing his good form as well.
Yeah. And Brandon scoring against Crawley in the Bristol Street Motors Trophy in what was a tight game in the end. And Wickham did enough to get out of the group. But, you know, the big talking point that night was Brandon's goal, and everyone at the club was absolutely delighted for him. And it's credit as well to the medical team that have helped Brandon. It was just over a year to the day since he did the injury against Stevenage, and, you know, rupturing your anterior cruciate ligament. Having done it myself, it's a brutal injury. And, you know, when even with the backing of a professional football club and all of the excellent people that go into the rehab and the surgery, etc., it's still a year. It's still a year of your life. And, you know, to see the ball hit the back of the net for Brandon 3 minutes into that game, his first start since coming back from injury, was fantastic for him. It was fantastic for everyone that's been with him along that journey. So great to see. And, you know, Luke Leahy as well, his set piece, brilliant. You know, he's been a real, he's exactly what Matt Bloomfield wants, because, you know, he may be wanting to start more games in the league than he has been so far this season. But when he does get the nod in the cup games, and when he's been involved in the league as well, he's delivered, and he's given Matt Bloomfield some big decisions to make. And that's what you want from the players on the bench and not starting. That's all he can do, and he's doing it brilliantly. And that's where we go back to that excitement at 2 o'clock about who's going to be in and who's going to be doing what. And the stuff that Luke Leahy's done so far this season has been excellent. The two free kicks in the cup competitions have been marvellous.
It must be quite a headache for the manager.
Yes, you know, it's a positive headache, isn't it? And is that another cliche?
I think so.
It's a great problem to have. And like we said many, many times before on this show, you don't have to roll the clock back too many years to remember the likes of Lee Harrison and Gareth Ainsworth on the bench well into their 40s making up the numbers. Those days are over, which is a good thing. I think, you know, we've got real excitement now coming off the bench. And, you know, we haven't seen it too many times this season where we've needed someone to come on and do things. You know, there's been a couple of occasions, you know, I think Richard Kone coming on and against Peterborough, you know, that was one example. But there's not been too many occasions where we've had to chase something and do something from the bench. But when we have had to do that, we've been able to deliver off the bench. And we've been able to see things out on from the bench too. So the options are there. Everyone's excited about them. And, you know, it's about managing those now as well. And I'm sure Matt Bloomfield will appreciate the good headaches when they come.
And something else that's really positive from this week is that the EFL Week of Action, a great opportunity for all clubs, but obviously especially ours, to show, you know, what can be done in the community and how influential the club and players can be.
Yeah, it's hugely important. You know, it's great that the EFL do this, you know, a week of action, but it really is sort of 52 weeks a year for football clubs and what they do in the community. Both us as a club and the club's foundation do a huge amount of work, you know, varied work as well. And it's not just about football, you know, and we are part of the community. And if you think about Adams Park, as it's a community hub. Yes, we're on the edge of town, but, you know, there's nothing else in town or across the country and across cities and towns. There's nothing like football clubs in terms of bringing people together from all walks of life, all different backgrounds, races, religions, you know, socio-economic groups, etc. You know, if you see the makeup of a football crowd on a Saturday or a Tuesday here at Adams Park, it's the full range of people, and there's not many things in society that can do that, and football clubs that are, you know, the heartbeat of their community, in my opinion. So, yeah, it's great the EFL spend a week, you know, celebrating what we do and showing that, because, you know, there'll be people out there who may listen to this who may not be football fans, who just think it's, you know, 11 people on a team kicking a ball around. But there's a lot more to it than that. You know, football means a hell of a lot to people, and it gives them an identity. It promotes the town across the country. It does so much for High Wycombe, and it's great that we can be part of the community here.
I like the idea that there might be people listening who aren't football fans. They just sort of tuned in and thought, oh, this is quite nice. I quite like this.
Who's this guy?
Just chat about anything. It's brilliant. Yeah. Brett, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Colin. Take care.
Great chatting to you, Phil. And big hello to you if you're not a football fan and you've just tuned in. Wycombe Wanderers were due to play Huddersfield Town on Saturday. That game was postponed because of international call-ups for the opposition. That game has been rescheduled for the 7th of January. That's a Tuesday night. In other fixture news, Wycombe Wanderers will play at home to either Leighton Orient, Northampton Town, Reading or Swindon Town in the round of 32 for the Bristol Street Motors Trophy. The draw takes place tomorrow evening, this evening, recently, depending if you're listening to the podcast and when. But the ties will be played week commencing the 9th of December. So one of those teams, Wycombe, will be in action against in the Bristol Street Motors Trophy. Phil mentioned the EFL Week of Action and the foundation doing some fantastic work. Let's meet one of their newest signings.
Hi, everyone. I'm Arinda Mandral, your new community engagement officer here at Wycombe Wanderers Foundation. I'm originally from India, but I moved to the UK a couple of years ago to do my Master's in Sports Management at the University of Bath. After completing my degree, I was looking for a role that combined my love for football and community work. And honestly, I couldn't be happier to have joined this team at Wycombe. I've only been here a month, but it already feels like home. And I'm not even exaggerating, though I still got no clue how to dodge the Marlow Hill traffic. If anyone got tips, I'm all ears. Now you might be wondering, who's this new guy? And how is he going to connect with the community? I think it's a fair question. And to answer that, I would just say that I've been diving right in, meeting amazing people, and getting a real feel of what makes this community special. My goal is to bring everyone together. Whether you are a lifelong fan, someone new to football, part of the LGBTQI+ community, women and girls, or someone with a disability. At the end of the day, football is for everyone. I want to make sure you all feel like a valued part of this club. As you know, Wycombe Wanderers isn't just any football club. It's a family known for having a bond between the fans and the team that you don't see anywhere else. Along with the Wycombe Wanderers Foundation, which is the charity arm of the club, they work together to make a real difference in people's life. From supporting mental health and well-being initiatives to creating inclusive sports programs for all ages, they are the heart and soul of what makes this club more than just a team. It's a family that looks out for the whole community. My job is to build up on this by bringing new ideas and projects that connects people, improves well-being, and celebrates the diversity of this amazing town. So, Over the next 6 months, I will be focusing on deepening these connections, listening to your feedback, and making sure we're creating a space where everyone can enjoy football. You will find me in the Down Center once a week, so if you spot me, please come and say hello. Whether it's a suggestion, a quick chat, or just to tell me your favorite Wickham spot, I would love to hear from you. And if you prefer, you can always reach out to me via email. All the details are on the Foundation's website. At the end, I would just like to say that I'm also incredibly fortunate to be supported by two brilliant individuals. Daniel Properts, our volunteer community engagement officer, and Juliet Schuyler, our project manager. They both bring a wealth of experience, and along with juggling a million other things, they have been supporting me with their valuable feedback and fresh ideas. So thank you for listening, and I hope to see more of you soon and work together to make something truly special here at Wickham. Cheers.
Real pleasure having Aaron Dimmitt on the show, and I'm sure you'll be hearing more from him in the coming weeks and months as well. The club's head of business operations, Neil Peters, was a guest speaker at Buckinghamshire University's first ever sustainability conference this week. It was hosted by the university's Business and Law School. Neil talked guests through the club's sustainability strategy, and we caught up with him just before his presentation.
Buckinghamshire University are a huge partner of the club's anyway, so I'm delighted that we're involved in speaking at the sustainability event. And what the club's done over the last 2 years really to make it far more sustainable, far more green, and it's just a pleasure to be invited to a big partner and to be part of this great event.
So what are some of the things the football club can do to be more sustainable?
Well, at the moment what we can do is complete a carbon audit footprint, which is happening. So we've done an awful lot over the last 2 years. We've nothing goes to landfill, single-use plastic is completely out the window, most of the stadium has LED lights. We use Whiff Away for waterless urinal technology, so let's be fair, our water consumption's gone down. There's a saving there, but it's also obviously great for the planet. There's EV car charging points. So a lot of the small things that you can do, we've done. The big things, such as changing your energy to 100% renewable energy, you can only do every 3 years when your contract closes. Although we've done it, we've signed for January 26. It will be 100% renewable energy. But, we've done a lot of things, and now we're looking at installing potentially solar over the next few months and the carbon footprint, which will give us some more indications as to what we can do to improve.
You're not just looking to be sustainable, but actually lead the way in sustainability for a football club.
Well, the EFL, actually, for the first time, has just recently launched its sort of green code, or rebirth of the green code, where there will be asking clubs to take part. So far, up 72 clubs, 36 have said yes. And you will be judged bronze, silver and gold. At this moment in time, I feel confident Wickham Wanderers will get the silver, which is some going. It's a 32-year-old stadium. It wasn't built to be sustainable. It wasn't built with local authority building regulations these days for the infrastructure you need to be sustainable. So I think, really, we've done an awful lot. There's an awful lot we can do. And it's one of those things, it's going to be forever going. You can't just rest on your laurels. You don't do a bit and say, well done. You have to do a bit and then look at the next challenge.
You must be so proud, someone like David Wheeler as well, being a PFA sustainability champion.
There's quite a strong link there, isn't there? David is a great ambassador for sustainability. He's pushed me as head of operations to make sure the stadium is as good as it is. So he's worked intrinsically with me. I'm proud of him. He's a good guy. He stands up for what he believes in. He's intelligent. And I think at the end of the day, we wouldn't be in the position we're in perhaps without him sort of kicking our heels from behind.
And what would you say are your goals in terms of sustainability?
I think it would be great to see, potentially, we're having discussions at the moment to see solar panels come in. You can imagine at a football stadium, Sunday to Friday, there's a degree of energy being used, and then you get to match day Saturday and it spikes hugely. We're looking at using solar panels to store into batteries and then to use that battery storage on a match day. So that's sort of the next big one for us. That would be great because it's, there's an investment to a point there. There is a return. With most sustainable things, there's a return. Eventually, you end up spending less money. There's a bit of operational movement to get solar panels on roofs and stands. So I'm not saying it is happening, but certainly we are in the closing stages, perhaps, of maybe agreeing that.
And this is something that supporters can get involved with and contribute to as well.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the big one I would say for any supporter is if you're drinking outside using our plastic glasses that are washable and reusable, please don't put them in a normal bin. Please put them in the bins provided so they can be washed and used the following week. So that's immediately something our supporters can be involved with. The supporters at the ground can't really be involved in an awful lot more. It's what we provide them, whether it's packaging, single-use plastic, clean energy. That's down to us. But what the supporters can do is maybe learn from the example the club set and go home and do the same, make sure their recycling's good, lights are turned off, there's not excessive use of water. So I'm hoping at some point we begin to influence the fans that come to the stadium to sort of carry on that journey at home.
Real pleasure to have Neil Peters on the show chatting about the club's sustainability strategy.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
Part two of this week's Wickham Wanderer show still to come. We'll hear from the manager, Matt Bloomfield, speaking ahead of Saturday's trip to Lincoln, and with Wickham Wanderers women back in action this weekend as well. We'll speak to one of their midfielders. But first, if you're listening last week, or indeed many of the weeks in the run-up to last week, you'll know that the 14th annual Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association annual dinner was staged at Adams Park. Some fantastic guests, including Scott McLeish, who was among those who got presented with a fantastic award, of course, not least for his contribution for being the record goal scorer in a season. The theme of the evening was 30 years in the Football League, and Phil spoke to a couple of those in attendance, including a Wycombe Wanderers legend. But first, Marcus Bean.
Beanie, great to see you. We're celebrating Wycombe Wanderers Football League era, and one of the most memorable moments, you scored that goal. That's one of the highlights in the last 30 years, and you're still smiling about it now.
Yeah, big grin on myself face. Yeah, that was a great day for me and my family and everybody involved at the club. I think it was one that everybody kind of remembers and everyone remembers me for. So, yeah, it was good times.
And that game, we were dead and buried, down to 10 men, down one goal in injury time. That era of Wycombe Wanderers, I think that game and result summed up the spirit of that time.
Yeah, that was a season and an era full of late goals and people just pulling together and fighting right to the end, summed up by the gaffer Gaz who brought everybody together. It was good times. I love my time here for sure.
You weren't known for your goal scoring, but it was worth the wait, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was getting a running joke. Everyone came shoot, shoot, shoot every time I got on the ball. So yeah, it's good to put that to bed for sure.
And my favourite bit about it is they made the T-shirt, and then a week later you did it again.
I know that was a marking down the drain. Yeah, but yeah, that the week later I think it was not as spectacular, like a little tapping on the line against Exeter away, so yeah, ruined that for everybody.
And what's it like to be here? There's going to be a lot of familiar faces here right the way back from the early 90s and before that even as well. What's it like to see the old teammates and faces from around the club?
It's great to meet new people, you know, and learn a bit more about the history. Obviously, there's loads of people that came before us.
Yeah. From the 50s.
Exactly, there you go. Yeah, just met a former player from the 50s. Apparently, he's a bit of a ball hogger. So it's just here. I love hearing all the old stories, what football used to be like. It's brilliant.
Well, Len, you'd have loved playing with Beanie because he'd have got the ball in midfield and the first thing he'd have done is given it to you on the wing, I reckon.
Good. Yeah, I would have enjoyed that, given the chance, yeah. The trouble is I'm much older than he is. Yeah.
You're looking good, Len, as ever. And for you to be as part of the Ex-Players Association as well, this is celebrating the Football League era, but if it wasn't for the likes of you guys, Wickham would have been in the position to get in the Football League in the first place. You've all done a big shift for this club.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the club has actually made really superb progress over the years. Very progressive club. Great club to belong to. Yeah, it's an honour, you know, to be associated with them.
And just remind us of the era that you played for Wycombe Wanderers.
50s and 60s. That really dates me, doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, Len, it's great to see you.
54, I think I had my first game. Yeah. I was 17. Yeah. And then I had 15 years here.
Incredible. Well, have a lovely evening tonight. Always good to see you, Len.
And you. Thanks a lot.
Real pleasure hearing from Len Worley, of course, the legendary Wycombe Wanderers winger who I was fortunate to share a table with on the event itself. I'm really pleased to say we can hear from JDT now, of course, who co-hosted it along with John Bignall. And JDT, it was a fantastic evening.
Yes, it was a marvellous night, actually. Probably, we've done 14 dinners now, and that was probably the most all-embracing one that we've done. We've had for different single events, but this one covering 30 years was just something special. And of course, the guest list was phenomenal, you know, to get people like Bayo and Creaser together. Gary Hand from the 75 team, along with six of his teammates. Just absolutely terrific. And of course, JJ as well. So we did cover the 30 years very, very thoroughly.
What's really interesting is to see, you know, you mentioned a couple there, but to see the players who obviously play in the same positions, but in very different, you know, eras of their time.
Well, Joe Jacobson said to me afterwards that he didn't really know anything about the earlier times. And to meet the guy that John Bignall introduced rightly as the best left back that we'd had probably in the amateur game to the best left back we ever have ever had in the professional game, you know, was absolutely terrific. And Joe was really taken with that, as of course he was with his birthday present, the leak.
Yes, that was very appropriate.
It was, and I even managed to get a bit of Max Boyce into the video as well.
It was fantastic to see those montages and the goals as well. There are so many that you forget, of course, but it really brings back those memories.
Yeah, I was thinking about doing, and I probably would have done if I'd have had enough time, you know, the goal of the 30 years. But when I started looking into it, I mean, there were some phenomenal strikes by unlikely people, really. I mean, Steve Brown had a fantastic goal. Hakan Haratin, a marvellous long-range shot, and so many of them. And, of course, as you mentioned earlier, Scott McLeish, who won Goal of the Season in 2007-2008, and who was really, really honoured, you know, to get a special award as being the top scorer in our EFL history.
And great to have Simon Garner as a guest as well.
Garns was great fun, wasn't he? When I rang him up and invited him, he said, well, I was only there 2 years, you know. And I said, yeah, but they were very, very vital 2 years. You know, when you consider he played in that cup, in that playoff tie, against Preston and scored twice, and then formed a relationship with Cyril Regis the following season. But what a character. And of course, I did ask him how his book sales were going, because he wrote his autobiography just last year. And he said, how many of them would you like? It's a hard job selling books. And in fact, he decided, which was very, very nice of him, that he would give one to Scott McLeish to show him how he could have scored a lot more goals. And Scott, of course, took it in great spirit and refused it.
Really nice to get some great, you know, names of the club there as well. Steve Hayes was in attendance, who not, fans may not know, played a big part in the establishment of the Ex-Player Association.
It's a good one, that. Hutch and I did a dinner for the 2007 side to coincide with 50 years of them appearing in the FA Amateur Cup final against Bishop Auckland. We got the Bishop Auckland side down. We got the FA Amateur Cup, the original thing, brought from the FA with two minders, I have to tell you. It cost us some money. And one of the remarks from one of the Bishop Auckland players was, as the night progressed and we were showing highlights of the game and interviewing all the various players, he said, hey, man, this is wonderful. He said, just think what you could have done if you'd have won. And it was quite true. It was a marvellous night. But what happened from there was that Steve Hayes then took over the club and had seen that. Saw all the publicity and the video that I did on the Lokes Park years and said, why don't we, Wycombe Wanderers, have an ex-players association? And he said to Hutch, you know, what do you reckon? And Hutch said to me, what do I reckon? And look what we let ourselves in for. 15 years or more later, there we are, still pounding away. But Steve was the guy that gave us that initial spark. We didn't think, you know, we didn't think it was going to happen. But we, you know, Hutch and I sat down, scratched our heads, opened the phone book, started ringing around a few people, because there wasn't any kind of record of the players once they left. And I'll tell you one little story, Colin, that I went through the phone book and looking for all the names that I knew, and a great help was Steve Peart's book, The History of Wycombe Wanderers. And I was looking up Merrick, and there were two Merricks in the phone. And I thought, well, one of these must be Les Merrick, who played, in fact, I played with him at school, and he played a long time at Wycombe Wanderers. And I rang up, and the woman answered the phone. It turned out to be his wife, who I knew, Sue. And I said, trying to make it as friendly as possible, is the stag around tonight, please? She said, the stag? You mean the fat? And I was a bit shocked, actually. But apparently, when he was at Wycombe, he was known as the stag. Dear old Les, great goal scorer, lovely player, had put on a little bit of weight, shall we say. But it was only his wife that could twist the words around. But that's how we got the people in the first place, because we didn't have the social media that we have today. And it was kind of hard labour. And then we had the first game against Chesterfield when we invited everybody down that wanted to come. We got 120 ex-players down for that game. And it really flourished from there. And then, as I say, going back to last Friday, we were then able to call upon what I would describe as more modern players. And to have Bayo there, as well as JJ and Beanie, who is one of my favourite guys. And, I mean, wasn't it wonderful? I was able to show the video and then ask everybody in the room, were you there when Beanie scored? And everybody, and I mean everybody, even Bayo, stood up and clapped. And I thought that was great.
It was a fantastic reaction. And also from the your very earliest days through to Friday night, fundraising is something which is key to you. And that was, as I say, very clear at the event as well.
Well, we've raised about 60 grand over the time. It wasn't, to be fair, one of our main aims to start with. It was just getting the association off the ground. But then we thought, well, okay, we're the only club that I know in the whole of the Football League that charges ex-players to become a member. And we've had some very kind of, what, you want me to pay to be a member of a club that I was playing for years? But anyway, people got used to the idea. So we got subscriptions in, and then we started making a little bit of profit on our various events. And we decided that we weren't going to throw this money away. We would look every year for a charity. And we've tried to address that in relation to footballers in the main, which is prostate cancer, this time the Alzheimer's Society, things that have affected our members and players in general. And we think we will have made a record amount this year. I'm not going to tell you what that amount is because Vince Faulkner is still doing the figures. He hasn't paid all the bills yet. But we think we're going to have a record sum this year to give to Alzheimer's Society, which is just a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Well, congratulations on a fantastic event. It was a pleasure to be there and chat to many people that I did and really enjoyed it, and look forward to following and covering more from the Ex-Players Association on the show.
Thanks very much, Colin. As always, great show.
Real pleasure chatting to JDT, John Taylor, who's the vice chair of the Wycombe Wanderers Ex-Player Association here at Wycombe Sound.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire and on your smart speaker.
Play Wycombe Sound.
This is Wycombe Sound.
Final part of this week's Wycombe Wanderers show. Still to come, we'll hear from manager Matt Bloomfield ahead of the trip to Lincoln City on Saturday, returning to action after the international break. But let's briefly switch our attention to Wycombe Wanderers women on Saturday at the under-18s. They're at home at Burnham taking on Wimborne Town. Then on Sunday, the development side are away to Abingdon United. And then for the first team, who are doing really well at the moment, they're making the comparatively short trip to Woodley United. Pleasure to speak to many of the players, of course, each week on the show. This week, we'll be catching up with Danielle Puddiford, who arrived in the closed season, as you might have heard on a recent edition of the show, with another teammate. But she's been playing football for some time.
Yeah, I started when I was five. I was with a boys' team. Really enjoyed playing with the boys. I think you you develop like different kind of strengths and stuff. Obviously, the boys' game is a lot more physical, so I think that's definitely helped develop that side of the game for me from a young age.
What was the process like for finding your position? Was there one that you always wanted to be, or did you try several first? Or?
Well, I was actually a striker until I was about 21. And then I dropped back into like the 10 position, attacking midfield. And then I actually found myself playing holding centre mid when I was about 24, 25. And then since then, that's the position I've been playing.
So would you say that's your preferred position?
Yeah, I do obviously like going forward and attacking and definitely getting shots off on goal. I wouldn't mind playing in the 8 or the 10, but I think holding centre mid kind of suits where I am at right now. I'm not 21 anymore, so I can't be doing box to boxes. But yeah, no, centre midfield is where I'm, happy playing and contributing to the team.
And have you noticed your own sort of game development, especially in recent years?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, as you get older, you get a lot more experience playing in, different leagues, playing against different opposition. And it's the best way to develop. You're only going to get better as you get older. I think, for a woman, probably peak is around 27, 28, maybe 26. So, as you get older, you definitely learn more about the game, understanding of the game, as opposed to when you're, a bit younger. It's all about, probably fitness and more so of the enjoyable side. But, yeah, as you get older, you are obviously learning more and more about the game.
And I imagine as well, it must be great for you to have taken bits from, playing at different levels and at different clubs as well.
Yeah, for sure. It's nice to, bring my experience to Wycombe and try and help some of the younger girls' development as well. And, I do enjoy that part of the game as well. Bringing the experience, from playing Tier 2, Tier 3 to obviously bringing that to Wycombe, I've enjoyed it so far.
So we should ask you a bit about how your move to the club came about, because I don't know if you know, but we had someone by the name of Kayla on recently, and she said that basically that she came to the club because of you.
Yeah, I poached her. Me and Kayla were at London Bees together a couple of seasons back. So I knew Kayla before, and I was at Stoke City last season in the Northern Prem Tier 3, and I didn't know whether I wanted to kind of hang up the boots or whether I was going to continue to play. And, I was looking in the summer what I was going to do. And then I obviously saw that Reading, unfortunately, obviously had to drop from Tier 2 into Tier 5. And with that being like, the most local club for me, it was an opportunity to revisit a team that, I grew up playing with. And, from the age of 11 all the way to 18, I was with Reading. So, I thought, why not go back and help try and build the club back up? And unfortunately, during pre-season, it didn't quite work out for me. And I decided to obviously transfer, where I obviously said to Kayla, do you want to come to Wycombe with me?
It's fantastic. It's some sort of like multi-buy. So, you get one, but then another one comes as well. It's a brilliant kind of package, if you like.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously when Cole initially, reached out and, mentioned Wycombe, and I knew already some of the other girls there at Wycombe. So it was one that I wanted to try, and I thought, why not? Obviously, we both had signed for Reading, and I didn't expect to probably jump ship that early on, but you just got to do what's best for you at the moment. And I guess Wycombe was where I felt more more suited to. And then I said to Taylor, do you want to come along as well? And, you know, that's that. And there we both are, signed for Wickham.
And does it feel like you've come to Wickham at quite an exciting time with the other new signings of the summer and what's already at the club?
Yeah, it's, you know, the day we arrived and we had our first session, I initially, you know, felt quite at home and everyone made me feel super welcome straight away. And I knew that they had obviously signed three or four new players as well, a couple that I knew already. So, yeah, it was good to add to that and add to Cole's squad. So, yeah, no, super happy with that.
And both you and Kayla and some of the others as well really bring that creativity and an attacking style that perhaps was needed.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously speaking with Cole about last season, is that might have been the area that they wanted to kind of strengthen, is to score more goals. And I mean, the front three so far are definitely bringing that. And, I think all over the pitch, we're getting better each game and we're looking pretty solid all over. So, yeah, it's an exciting squad to be a part of.
And congratulations for your goal on Sunday as well. That must have been quite special, especially after the injury that you had recently as well.
Yeah, it's always good to chip in and any goals, assists. I'm just happy to kind of get 3 points for the team. It's always nice to try and chip in and help with the scoreline. But at the same time, we are obviously all on a mission to win the league. So, you know, it's quite nice to help out. And yeah, especially after an injury, it's obviously nice to get some minutes and try and build that fitness back up.
And as we say, great that you can bring out experience from other clubs and other levels as well into the Wickham team and hopefully help them get that promotion.
Yeah, for sure. I've only actually ever been promoted once, so I've always wanted to do that again. And I've always found myself in a team where I'm either like maybe second or third and we've just missed out, or more so mid-table where results haven't gone our way and we probably could have finished higher. So it's definitely, you know, an exciting team to be a part of where, you know, there is that chance of promotion. And I do think, you know, with the squad we've got, the whole squad we've got, we can definitely fight for promotion, if not get it.
And what would you say are the main strengths of the team?
Main strength? Do you know what? I just actually think that, obviously, we can score goals. I think the one thing, I mean, we're not sugarcoating it. To win any game, you need to score goals. And, you know, we were... at times struggling and we were always kind of conceding a goal. Even though we would score more than we concede, we were still conceding. And I think we've definitely tightened up at the back now and we've got a lot more clean sheets coming in the last few weeks in the league and stuff. So I think the whole strength is the fact that we are scoring more than we're letting in. I know it sounds very simple, but that's how you win football matches.
No, absolutely. And I think it's really interesting for fans as well to kind of engage how you find combining, you know, obviously training twice a week and playing on a Sunday with your sort of out of football life as well.
Yeah, it's tough. I've pretty much worked 6 or 7 days a week doing personal training. So it is a very physical job. I'm in the gym every day. I'm lifting every day. And then alongside with football, it is quite demanding on the body, probably hence why... my nice young age of 32, I'm feeling a few niggles. So, yeah, no, I definitely think, you know, it does take its toll on the body, but it's keeping me young, I suppose.
No, absolutely. And I guess a really nice release as well for when you are playing and training as well.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, when you are injured with football, there is always something you can be doing. And I think, obviously, just because of, you know, my background and my job, I can do a lot of rehab with clients and stuff. Anyone going through injuries or niggles and stuff like that, I think that gives me that edge where when I am injured, I can do a lot of, you know, rehab on my own, where I have that knowledge to kind of get back maybe a little bit sooner than others who are maybe not getting the access of, you know, physio and treatment all the time.
And since you've been playing, have you noticed a real increase in the popularity of women's football?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, when I started, you wouldn't get much support. You were... you know, oh, you play football, oh, cool. Whereas now it's like more and more girls are getting into the game and I think it's great. You know, you see the England women's team, you know, having a sellout at Wembley. And obviously when I was playing there in the under-17s, obviously we didn't have that. So, yeah, no, it's definitely improving and I think it's great that more and more girls are getting involved from a young age and hopefully it can continue.
And I imagine really nice for you as well to kind of inspire younger players and really, you know, have any questions that they may have answered as well.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, I like I like the fact that the team that we have at Wickham has, you know, a vast variety of ages. Like, there's young girls coming through, the under-18s. There was even one in the squad on Sunday who was maybe 16. So, you know, it is great that, you know, they're able to kind of push up, and any young girls looking to get into football, I think it's a great strength for them to be able to play with, you know, women who are older, who can, you know, help them develop their game as well.
And what would you say your own kind of personal aims for this season are?
For this season, yeah, for sure, promotion. I don't think I would have signed if I didn't think that, you know, we couldn't get it. And initially, that's probably why I made the transfer so early. Even just after one session, I liked, you know, the professionalism within the club. You know, the whole setup, I thought it was very professional, especially at Tier 5 level. You know, the whole analysis, everything already set up. I think at that level, I think I was actually, you know, a little bit surprised that it was that professional, not going to lie. Like, I, you know, was pleasantly surprised. And I think the ambition in the club is great. And I think the support we have as well is fantastic. And I think that, along with obviously the ability of our squad, I don't see why we can't get promotion. And I think that's what all the girls are, you know, here for.
Well, we wish you all the best for the coming season. It's been brilliant to speak to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Cheers, Colin.
Great chatting to Danielle, who will be in action, no doubt, on Sunday for Wickham Wanderers Women. We'll hear from Dan Rice, who is speaking literally now at the Fans Forum, which is at Adams Park, as we speak, which you can hear on Wanderers TV in full afterwards. You can tune in now as well, but hopefully you're listening to this now. Ahead of that, Matt Bloomfield, the manager, spoke to Phil up at Cressock's AstroTurf.
Gaffer, we're off the back of the international break. First and foremost, a good couple of days' rest.
Yeah, I think we've had some real good work as well over the last couple of weeks. I think we went after a couple of bits that we thought we could tidy up on. Some of the things we wanted to obviously keep. The work the lads have been putting in recently has been fantastic, and they've been getting some good results. But we've all, you know, what we like, we always have to try and make those little adjustments and improvements, and the lads have worked really, really well, so we're looking forward to getting back into action.
And I'm sure the start of the week when everyone was back together again was a nice moment too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you spend a lot of time together, you're in each other's pockets for most of the year, so have a couple of days at home was nice, but I must admit Sunday evening I was raring to go again, looking forward to the week ahead.
And Lincoln City, it's always a tough place to go. I think we've had some really brutal games there over the years. And are you expecting the same this Saturday?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one. Scoobs has done a great job. He's a great guy. I really like him. Obviously, you know, done a great job since he's been in there. We know that both teams have picked up a real good number of points over the calendar year as well. So, yeah, Lincoln have a strong team, really, really well organised. You know how to get results and got some really, really good players. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough test, but we're looking forward to it.
You know each other well, classmates.
Yeah, Scoobs on the pro licence and someone who I've got to know well. Someone, you know, I really, really like him. I think he's a great guy. I really respect him. You know, he had a great job at Leeds and, you know, it would have been a great offer from Lincoln for him to come out of the environment that he was working in and go into first team management. But he's taken to it really well and I've got no doubts that he'll continue in that way.
And how are the lads looking now, coming back, looking sharp and rested too?
Yeah, they're looking sharp. They've put in some good work this week, as I've said before. It is nice just to, you know, restore those energy levels because we're going into a lot of Saturday, Tuesdays. Then that leads us straight into the Christmas period, which we obviously know that's brutal as well. So it just seemed like the right time to get them a couple of days back at home and renew that energy sources ready to attack these games.
And you had a couple of peaks at the table in this last week or two?
Everyone keeps asking me that. I don't, you know what I'm like, mate, I can't, it's lovely, you know, it's a lovely position to be in. There's been a lot of attention and loads of phone calls and that's lovely, obviously, for a club like ours to be competing where we are. It's lovely, but it's 14 games, there's 32 to go, there's loads and loads of loads of football to play, and it's just about us just keeping our feet on the ground. The boys will do that, you know, they're a real driven group, and yeah, we're looking forward to what we've got to come.
And it's EFL week of action. We're up here on the AstroTurf at Cressock's. We've got walking football behind us here and we've got a girls' football session here to our right too. It's been a great week celebrating what all the clubs in the Football League do for their communities.
Yeah, and it's really important because this is what it's about. You know, we're really fortunate with our platform in the professional game to live our lives in football, to be employed, to be in the industry that we love. So it's great to come up here. My youngest Rosie, well, my oldest Molly, she's getting into her football as well. So it's nice to pay some attention to the girls' football and really help to play a part in that.
spots and talent tonight. There's some good players here.
Yeah, I know. It's great, isn't it? You know, it's you know, the game, once you get football in the blood, you can't get it out of you. So it's nice that the guys have got an opportunity to come and play. And yeah, it's obviously the game we love. So it's great to see them enjoying it.
And I guess the message is football is for absolutely everybody.
Yeah, we've spoken about it before. If, whether it's in the stands, you know, we want to invite everyone to our ground to watch the games. You want everyone to feel comfortable. You want everyone to play the sport they love. And, you know, like I say, I'll go and watch Rosie on a Sunday morning. And there's just football. There's girls' football everywhere. It's so densely populated now, which is just amazing. And the guys enjoying their walking football as well. Yeah, it's obviously the game we all love, and it's great to see everyone enjoying it.
Pleasure to hear from the manager who was speaking ahead of the Fans Forum. You can hear that interview in full on Wanderers TV. Also, thanks to Wanderers TV, we can hear from Dan Rice, who's speaking at Adams Park to the fans.
Yeah, I think, listen, you know, when I first sat here, six, 7 months ago, you know, there was a real clear vision and strategy that we wanted to go after, and you know, probably sat there and thought, you know, we've got time on our hands to build foundations, build structures, build everything around Matt, you know, obviously the intention for the academy to come, you know, and now we're in a position where, you know, everything that we've built is, you know, credit to, you know, Matt, to the players, to the staff that have, you know, transitioned over to Harlington, because, you know, speaking really openly, that has been a challenge, and you know, to get that you know, such a big transition across there, and then, you know, Matt's touched on it, Jack's touched on it, the lads and everyone involved is then bought into it. And you know, I can't comment. There's been works going on when Matt's trying to have team meetings, there's been interviews taking place at the training ground, there's someone on the roof, you know, so there's lots of work going in. And you know, we're fortunate that we got pitch one. You know, that was one of our high agenda points to make sure. And as I said, very early on in the ownership, when we took over, we wanted to provide an elite environment for the players, for Matt to operate, and for the future of the academy to come. So, you know, Jack and I speak a lot around making sure that we provide that. And when you start seeing the tangibles that you see at Harlington as an example, you know, that's, you know, it's I guess, a proud moment for us as the ownership group to see those coming through. And then obviously, you know, the conversion of that for Matt to go and operate Saturday, Tuesday, you know, what we do at Harlington isn't just the big thing. It's also, you know, we brought in, you know, John Goodwin from a performance perspective to now sit with Matt and talk to him about how do we, you know, get the best out of the players from a recovery perspective, performance perspective, work with Matt's team to make sure that we're preparing our players. And that's not just for Matt's team, but, you know, eventually for the academy players as well.
Real pleasure to hear from Dan Rice on the show, who's the Chief Footballing Officer at Wycombe Wanderers. He's part of a panel, which is at the Caledonian Suite, featuring the manager, Matt Bloomfield, and also Captain Jack Grimmer as well, answering questions from the fans. You'll be able to either watch it now, or you can download it and watch it in its entirety via Wanderers TV. And on you get some highlights on the club's website as well. If you are going to the game on Saturday up at Lincoln, hope you enjoy it. If you're not, you'll hear the whole match live here on Wycombe Sound with Phil bringing you the full match commentary. Kickoff is, of course, at 3. We've got another game next week against on Tuesday against Mansfield as well.